Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. This week, it's columnist and Albany bureau chief for the New York Daily News, Ken Lovett, quite a star here at the Capital Connection. Welcome back, Ken.
Good to be back.
Okay, so the bribery trial of former top aide to Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo is nearing its end. That's Joe Prococo. And three businessmen besides Prococo. Prosecutors say Prococo accepted more than $300,000 in bribes from the businessmen to treat them favorably. Defense lawyers say there were no bribes. One of the charges was dropped. The dismissed charge accused Prococo of using his official state position and power and authority to extort core development. Take it, Ken.
Yes, well, this is going to be a crucial time, not just for Prococo, but also for the governor. Obviously, in terms of Prococo, it doesn't get any closer to the governor. He was not only a longtime aide to the governor, but also the former governor, Mario Cuomo, but he was his chief confidant, his bully, his political bully, and a longtime top aide. So for the governor, the trial has not been good. There's been a lot of ugly revelations, and like a lot of trials of public corruption, sometimes it's not even what was illegal and what's being charged that was eye-opening, but what is legal and what was being done within the Cuomo administration during this time.
You know that Andrew Cuomo took on the mantle of Lochinvar coming out of the West. He stood in front of the Tweed Courthouse. He said, "I'm cleaning up Albany." And then it began to disassemble. I mean, you know, there was the question of disbanding his famous commission that was going to root out corruption when it got a little too close to him and to his people. And even Elliot Spitzer said the latest revelation by the New York Times, which I hope you'll tell us about, even though it's not your paper, was very telling. Go ahead.
Well, yes, the New York Times had a story that numbered more than two dozen appointees by the governor have given him lots of money in violation of an executive order that was first put in place by Spitzer and upheld when Cuomo came in. He reissued it that basically said that political appointees to any state agency or public authority cannot donate to the governor's race. And he's gotten millions of dollars from a number of his appointees as well as their families, and they also helped him raise money, which also was against the executive order, went against the executive order. So, look, I know back in 2011, I did a story how the governor, several stories, frankly, how the governor had promised to bring in the best and the brightest. And in the end, he appointed a lot of his donors to these boards, various boards and authorities, as well as political figures. So it's something he's been doing. It's something he continues to do, even though it goes against what he promised to do.
Now, so I don't quite get it. I think I do, but I'll ask it for the sake of just having some fun here. Clearly, a lot of these guys, they don't get paid for this service. So why should they give money back to the governor for being appointed?
Well, they're important boards. First of all, they're prestigious. So, you know, just saying that you've been appointed to these boards is a prestigious thing, you know, being appointed by a governor. But also these boards are important, whether it's the MTA or various authorities. They approve contracts. They say who gets what. And, you know, a lot of money flows through them. And it raises questions about why they want to be on the boards and are they buying their way onto these boards.
Thousands of years ago, Ken, not to bore you, I worked in the state Senate for the minority party, which, as we know, had the power of warm spit. And I was in somebody's office, a guy's office, and there was something called the Advisory Council to the Democrats in the New York State Senate. And the idea was to put all of these rich guys on this board. And I came in, and it had no power whatsoever. And I came in one day, and he was on the phone with a business associate and said, "I have to get off the phone now. I'm meeting with my commission that I've been appointed to in the state Senate." So that makes your point, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, this is something, like I said, it's getting on those boards is prestigious. The power those boards have is prestigious. And if it means that, you know, you're giving donors. Now, others would argue, and you know, even Republicans who are criticizing the governor for this practice are saying that they don't even believe in the actual executive order, which, you know, they feel everybody has a First Amendment right to give public campaign contributions. But the governor made a big deal, you know, his first day in office, of saying we're going to change the way we're doing business and we're going to uphold this executive order that was issued by Spitzer. And so he went out of his way to say that this was an issue he wanted to take care of. And then, you know, it turns out he rewards a bunch of donors. Now, they would argue these are quality people, and it's no surprise that, you know, people in, you know, who donate are interested in government, so would want to be on these boards. But then to continue giving, I remember Maria Vullo, who's now a superintendent of the financial services division for the governor, she had put in to become a Court of Appeals judge. The Court of Appeals is the state top judge. There was an opening in Cuomo was going to make an appointment, and she put in for it. And after she actually interviewed for the job with the panel that was going to recommend to the governor whether or not, you know, which people would make good judges, she donated to Cuomo. I mean, it just looked really awful. She gave a couple of $1,000s to Cuomo after she was applying for the job. So, I mean, it's something the governor has dealt with. There has been issues with him of saying one thing and doing another when it comes to this. None of it seems illegal at this point. No one's accusing him of being illegal, but he certainly, the Republicans are accusing him of being a hypocrite.
Let me ask you about the relationship between Spitzer and Cuomo. I have very good reason to believe it's not very good. I think Spitzer really is not fond of Andrew Cuomo and vice versa. And this gives him a moment to really chuck one up on the hypocrisy scale about Cuomo.
Cain and Abel were closer than these two. Now, look, Spitzer, there's no secret their distrust of each other. It really stems back from when Spitzer was governor and Cuomo was attorney general, and there was something that people probably forgot right now called Troopergate. You know, whether Spitzer as governor used the state police to spy on the then Senate Majority Leader and political foe to Spitzer, Joe Bruno, and basically Cuomo did an investigation into it and found, you know, wrongdoing or questions that were raised. And it was a big political black eye for Spitzer. You know, Spitzer feels that Cuomo was behind a lot of stuff. And so, you're right, they are not friends. But it's interesting because Spitzer really has stayed out of commenting on state affairs. You've seen him pop up from time to time on national things, but you never really hear him comment on state affairs. So for him to actually chime in, my guess is not only did he get some delight in it, especially in an election year when Cuomo's under fire with all these trials and things like that, I think he got some, schadenfreude pleasure out of it. But then you have Cuomo, who I'm sure didn't like a single line in that story in the New York Times, but really was obsessed that Spitzer chimed in. I'm sure that really, really burned him.
Yeah, well, let's go back to the trial itself and the potential outcome for the trial. We have this lobbyist, Todd Howe, who turns out to be, you know, quite a liar and a crook, according to the various allegations. Well, we know he was a crook because he pled guilty. And that seems to be what they've got. The defense in the trial said, well, we're not even going to put many witnesses on. We just think that the prosecution hasn't made its case. What do you think?
You know, not having sat through the whole thing, certainly, look, one charge was already dropped by the judge, an extortion charge against Prococo, because she said that he wasn't in public service at the time that some of this stuff was said to have happened. He had left the governor's office to run the governor's political campaign when he started taking all this extra money. So that's going to be an issue. And they're also going to have to prove under a U.S. Supreme Court judgment from a year or two ago, from the former Virginia governor, McDonnell, they're going to have to prove that there not only was there a bribe given, but that there was an official action taken in exchange for that bribe. And I'm not quite sure, you know, whether or not that's been proved. Certainly, their star witness, Todd Howe, everyone knew he had issues anyway, but being arrested after you in the middle of your testimony because you were proven to have gone against your prosecution agreement certainly didn't help the feds. So it'll be interesting to see, there's no way to predict it, but it'll be interesting to see whether, you know, the Todd Howe situation and whether the government actually proved its case.
So is Cuomo in trouble as a result? result of this thing. We know that when the governor of New Jersey did Bridgegate and was involved in all of that surrounding him, his popularity plummeted. We saw the last poll we saw said Cuomo had gone down 10 points, but was still above 50%. Do we expect the trajectory to continue?
You know, honestly, with that last poll showing his numbers went down, I'm not really sure it did go down more than it may have been a course correction, because the poll the month before that, he had gone up like 10 points. And you just don't usually see swings that dramatic over a two-month period where someone goes up 10 and down 10. I think what the last poll showed and where he was, the low 50s and underwater in terms of job approval, I think that's where he's been mostly for the last year or so. So I think that's more of an accurate reflection of where he is. But, you know, it's the old adage, you can't beat somebody with nobody. And the Republicans really do have an opportunity here. Yes, Cuomo has a lot of money, but there's a lot of, the trial, there's a lot of stuff, as I said earlier, that came out that may not be illegal, and the governor has not been accused of any wrongdoing, but just how his office operated is a reflection on him that can be used by any candidate who runs against him. But whether they get someone who can raise enough money, who is clean enough, doesn't have enough issues of their own, and can get out there attacking before Cuomo starts spending down his money attacking them, that remains to be seen. But certainly he's more vulnerable than he's been.
So we're talking to Ken Lovett of the Daily News. Ken, let's go over to the place you just referenced, the Republicans. Now, Ed Cox told me that Andrew Cuomo is the most corrupt governor that has ever been in modern times. You think that's excessive?
It's not for me to say he's the most corrupt or the least corrupt. Certainly, we haven't really seen a top aide and associates like this so widespread. I mean, you know, you not only have this trial that involves, you know, Joe Prococo, his close aide, his former close aide, and a number of his associates, but also you have an upcoming trial that includes other people who are either in the administration or were donors or vendors and contractors. So we haven't seen this really this widespread. I mean, obviously you had Spitzer, who had to resign because of a prostitution scandal. Pataki, in his first year when he took office, there was a minor scandal regarding were they selling paroles for donations, but that never really amounted to much. So, I mean, you know, whether it's the most or not, it's certainly not a good time for Andrew Cuomo. And he's been hiding. He's taken very few questions about it. And when he does take them, he has the same line, which is, we're going to let the process play out, and I don't want to taint it by commenting.
Now, Ed Cox, the powerful chairman of the Republican Party, has got some problems of his own.
Ed Cox does have some problems of his own. A lot of his members feel that, a lot of his county leaders feel that the governor is extremely vulnerable, and yet the process to choose someone to take him on has just really not been there. You have John DeFrancisco, who right now appears to be the front runner. DeFrancisco is a longtime state senator. He's currently the deputy Senate majority leader, Republican. But he's got a longtime Albany record, and there are a lot of Republicans who don't think you can fight Cuomo and talk about draining the swamp with someone who's been in the swamp for 26 years, who voted for Cuomo's budgets and who's taken tax credits for his law firm. So they're not happy about that. And they don't feel that Cox, some of the county leaders, not all, don't feel Cox has taken the lead in trying to find somebody or really worked hard enough to get somebody else to go. So there's unhappiness with Ed Cox. There's really no down ballot candidates as of yet, you know, for attorney general and state comptroller. So, you know, the Republicans are poised to take advantage if they can find people. But I think everyone put their money on Harry Wilson, who was a Republican businessman who was going to put in supposedly up to $10 million of his own money. And when Wilson decided around the new year that he was not going to run, I think that threw the party for a loop. And now, you know, DeFrancisco has risen to the top so far, but others are hoping someone else comes forward.
Well, there's this fellow Mark Molinaro. He's a county exec in the Hudson Valley, but he doesn't have to give up his office. He gets what the politicians call a free ride.
Right.
But this is the year of Trump.
Yeah, Trump, you know, and I think, honestly, that's why so many people didn't want to do it. They saw Cuomo maybe as vulnerable, but he does have over $30 million in the bank, in, you know, campaign coffers, and they feel that, you know, Trump, they're afraid of a blue wave. They saw what happened in November where, you know, the Republicans lost the Westchester County executive seat. They lost the Nassau County executive seat. You know, there were a lot of high, they lost the Suffolk County Sheriff's Office. So there were a lot of high-profile defeats. And so I think others were saying, well, maybe we'll give Cuomo one more year and one more term, and then, you know, hopefully it'll be vacant and we can go for it then. But others feel, hey, he is vulnerable now. Now's the time to pounce. Marcus Molinaro, the Dutchess County executive, he is someone a lot of people would like to see run. He, in January, said that he was not going to run. He cited his family, but he left an opening. He said, you know, I'm not a candidate as of now, but he is seriously reconsidering it. I've heard he's on the fence. He keeps going back and forth. Yes, he is going to get back in. No, he's not. But as of right now, he has not committed.
Okay, we need about 2 minutes on the Janus case and what public employee unions in New York fear about this.
Yeah, a big Supreme Court decision coming, whether or not public employees can be forced to contribute to the unions if they don't want to. And I think it's a big case. You know, in a union state like New York, they see this as a full frontal assault on the labor movement.
And it is, of course, right, Ken? It's a full frontal assault.
It's looking to make states, you know, it is an assault. And, you know, the actual impact, I mean, the governor said it would obliterate, you know, public unions. I don't think it would go that far. But certainly it would be a major blow, and it could be theoretically a major blow in terms of what they can do, what the influence they have in the halls of the state capitol, how much they can influence campaign races. I mean, if people stop giving, then that would be a huge blow to the unions.
Let's talk a little bit about Jamon Williams, a New York City councilman, who wants to take on Kathy Hochul in a primary for lieutenant governor. Now, we know the Democrats live in New York City, not upstate New York. Cuomo, of course, is going to be furious about this. Does he have a shot?
I think it's a uphill shot. You know, Certainly being from New York, being a person of color always helps in a Democratic primary, being from New York City. But Hochul has the establishment behind her. Look, we haven't had a lieutenant governor that wasn't the choice of the governor of the gubernatorial candidate since Carl McCall lost a primary to Al Del Bello to be Mario Cuomo's lieutenant governor. Del Bello won, ran on a ticket with Mario Cuomo. They served together for 2 years. Cuomo froze him out, gave him nothing to do, really just didn't deal with him, and Del Bello quit out of boredom and frustration after 2 years. But I think it's a sign of two things. Obviously, there's still people on the left who are not happy with the governor, despite his move to the left over the last year or two. They're not happy with him. And I think it's also a sign that there's been a lot of talk of a gubernatorial primary against Cuomo. And maybe that's fizzling out. Maybe there's a recognition, you know what, we won't be able to really do anything serious there. So we'll go after the lieutenant governor and maybe have a better shot at it.
Okay, so now let's go to guns for a couple of minutes. You know, New York is a leader, obviously. In upstate New York, you can't travel around without seeing repeal the SAFE Act, which is, you know, the signature act of the governor, which I thought he showed great courage in having passed after Sandy Hook and the slaughter of those wonderful children. So he and a group of other Democrats and now one Republican, Governor Baker of Massachusetts, are getting together. What can they do?
Well, that's the question. I mean, they're going to share databases, supposedly, you know, that shows. Yeah. New York has, I think it's over 77,000 people who have been found basically mentally unfit to own a gun or a firearm. And so, you know, they can share different databases. They can try and maybe do some gun control things as a region and maybe try and put pressure on Congress, although that's, you know, how much that would work remains to be seen. But they can do things as a coalition of Northeast states, potentially, to try and reduce, you know, the gun violence. In New York, you know, it's one of the safest big cities. You know, it's one of the safest states, and it also has some of the strictest gun laws. So,
from the Department, Ken Lovett, of things we don't hear much about anymore, somebody walked up to me the other day and said, "Well, you're such a professional. Tell me, what happened to Andrew Cuomo's race for the presidency? We're not hearing much about that anymore."
Well, I'm sure the Prococo trial isn't helping him. I think there's still people near him who hope he would do it or think he should do it. But a lot of people, and I've been among them, frankly, I'm not clear that's something he actually wants. I think it's something he's setting himself up for. And I think he's been doing that really since 2011. I think everything he does is on a parallel track. Does it work in New York? Does it work with a national narrative? But I don't think in his own head he has made that decision that I'm all in on this. And certainly, given the Prococo trial and given the upcoming corruption trial on the Buffalo Billions, the upstate economic development projects, it's too soon to say what could happen. I mean, if Prococo is indicted and then there's more, not indicted, convicted, and then there's more convictions in the Buffalo Billions and there's other bad news, then, you know, he's done in terms of national prospects. And also, you've got the issue of how much will he win by in New York? Will these trials, will these controversies impact, you know, his win in New York? And if he only squeaks by, then that also is a serious blow to any national ambitions.
Now, Ken, what about Kirsten Gillibrand? We have about 2 minutes to talk about her. You know, here's somebody who has put herself out as a leader of the Me Too feminist wing of the party and movement, but we don't see anybody coming of strength coming forward to oppose her.
No, it's going to be a Manhattan businesswoman, Shel Farley. She's someone who has been a fundraiser for the state party in New York City. But look, right now it's very hard for Republicans in New York. They haven't won an office, a statewide office, since George Pataki was reelected to a third term in 2002. The last time they had a U.S. senator who was a Republican was 1998, and D'Amato lost in 98. The end of 98, he lost to Chuck Schumer, and that ended his three terms as a congressman. And there hasn't been a Republican since. So it's an uphill climb. Look, Shel Farley says she's going to be aggressive, which they all say that, but she's got to have a lot of money, and she doesn't have any name recognition. So she's going to have to get that as well.
So how do you walk around without holding your hand over your nose when you're around this stinking mess?
Who says I do?
Stinking mess in New York State politics, Ken.
Look, you got to hope that, you know, I don't think it would be easy to cover this place if you didn't think things could get better. And there are, you know, to be fair, there are a lot of things that do get done that do help a lot of people. So, you know, we focus on the bad, but there is some good stuff that happens. But certainly the legislature and the governor, they just haven't taken the corruption issue as seriously as you would hope. In years when you've seen not only top aides to the governor indicted and on trial, but you've seen the assembly speaker and the Senate majority leader let out and, you know, proverbially let out in cuffs. They were convicted, although it was overturned on appeal, and they're going to be retried. We've seen so many scandals, and yet nobody really seems to want to do much about it. You know, their argument is, hey, the fact that you're seeing all these arrests, the system works.
That is what they're arguing, but there's no arguing with the fact that we are very lucky to have Ken Lovett, the columnist and Albany bureau chief for the New York Daily News, with us as often as you can give us time. We love having you here, Ken, and you are such a wise man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's always fun. Thank you.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.